morning, we're going to talk about problems. I thought we had a good example when my wife and I showed up this morning and there were three police officers standing out in the front. The alarm system wouldn't shut off, and it kept going on. And then we had a couple other little problems. But you know, the Lord was with us. We have problems every day. And the Lord walks with us through our problems. Do we see the potential in those problems? Someone once said, a crisis brings problems, but it also brings opportunities. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that as we go through the problems in our lives, the daily problems, those that stretch out, that you walk beside us. You hold our hand. You are with us every step of the way. You watch over us. Help us as we look at your word this morning and see something about taking those problems and turning them into opportunities. Father, I pray that this morning you would speak to me and that you would speak through me to the hearts of those that are here, gathered in person or gathered virtually. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Timothy said, I've been here a while. My name is Mike Heaton. My wife, Gretchen, and I, and our two children, Michelle and Kenny, were here at Syracuse Alliance from 1986 to 1999. We count that 13 years as the longest we'd ever been in one place. Gretchen, as an elementary school librarian and a teacher. I was an engineer working for the Department of Veterans Affairs, building and renovating medical facilities. And Michelle and Kenny graduated from Faith Heritage. And then after they graduated, they went on to college. After college, Michelle met this great young guy. She married David Colici, Steve and Bev Colici's oldest son. They live in Manlius, and they have three kids, three of our grandchildren. The oldest one is Adora. Adora is in her second year at Houghton College. Our son Kenny also got married. He and his wife, Carrie, live in Oklahoma, and they have five kids. The youngest one, Kobe, is just 2 years old. So we've got quite a spread in the family. In 1999, the VA started to move Gretchen and I around different jobs and different positions until finally they moved us right back home, back to Lacey, Washington, about 60 miles south of Seattle. I finished the job there, and then I retired in 2010. In 2011, we got to go to Tanzania. We got to go to Tanzania to oversee construction of a translation center for SIL Wycliffe. We're going for just 5 months. Short-term missionaries. Just 5 months. We finished the job in Tanzania, and we got invited up to Ethiopia, to Addis Ababa, the capital, where Gretchen got a job as a librarian at Bingham Academy, an international Christian school. And I oversaw the construction of a language development center for SIL Wycliffe and a high school building for Bingham. In 2014, I was asked to join the staff of our church. And God, at that point, changed me from being an engineer to being a pastor. We were in Ethiopia for 9 years. We only went for 5 months. But God kept extending our contract. A year ago, in October, for health reasons and other reasons, we decided to move back to the United States. We bought a house in Fayetteville. And in March of this year, we moved back just in time to see New York State be number one in the world. But being in an international church in Ethiopia, we know that there sometimes can be problems. Christians of different ethnic groups, different backgrounds, can feel animosity and hard feelings toward Christians of other groups and backgrounds. One example, not from our church, but from within Ethiopia, is the Anuk and the Nuer people of the Gambela region. The Gambela region is just below the border of South Sudan. And these two groups, the Anuk and the Nuer, have been fighting with each other for hundreds of years. That affects their daily lives. It affects their schools. It affects the Anuk and the Nuer churches. It causes some real problems. So just recently, those churches have gotten together. They've decided to preach unity and to bring peace and reconciliation to the groups. Now, we see similar problem in the scriptures that we're going to look at today. Different groups with different backgrounds in the early church in Jerusalem. We read about this in Acts chapter 6. Verses 1 through 7. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program." And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And we will give them this responsibility. Then the apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked the idea, and so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, who was an early convert to the Jewish religion. The seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them and laid their hands on them. And so God's message continued to spread. The number of believers increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Problems exist. Problems exist in the church today, and we see problems existed in the early church, in the first church in Jerusalem. There were different kinds of problems, external problems. As we've seen over the last five chapters of the book of Acts, the church was continuing to grow in spite of adversity. The chief priest and the leading council of the Jews did not like the church. They persecuted it. They were jealous. They were jealous because this new church was doing things they couldn't do. There were many people coming together, and they were doing things that the leaders of the Jewish religion thought were just beyond them. They also had a problem in that this was the chief priest and the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. Now, we read a lot in Scripture about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were one sect of Judaism, and they were the legalists. They kept the law. But the Sadducees, the chief priest and the council, were mostly Sadducees. And the Sadducees didn't believe in spirits or angels or the resurrection. And these people, this new group, were preaching that Jesus, who they had tried and killed, had risen again on the third day. They arrested the apostles three times. They tried them before the council. They beat them with rods. They warned them, "Do not preach in the name of Jesus of Nazareth ever again." I love what it says, that in spite of the adversity, they continued to preach. The apostles rejoiced because God had found them worthy to suffer in Jesus' name. But the external problems weren't the only ones. There were individual problems. Problems that dealt with internal problems that dealt with individuals. Last week we looked at Ananias and Sapphira. Many people sold possessions, gave the money to the apostles to help support those that were in need. Ananias and Sapphira were trying to make themselves into something. They were trying to gain position. They were trying to gain prestige. So they sold a piece of property. And they gave some of the money to the apostles. The problem was they lied about it. They said, "This is all the money we received." They lied to the apostles, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. And God judged them. We also see that there were internal problems dealing with groups. The church continued to grow rapidly. Rapid growth brings problems. You know what we say? We have rapid growth. That's the kind of problems we want. Those are good problems. They're still problems. They have to be dealt with. As the church grew, there were problems. Now, when we have problems, we can let those problems overcome us. We don't do anything about it. We ignore them. We hope they'll go away. Very rarely have I seen problems go away when they're ignored. Or we can see the problems as opportunities. Opportunities to do something, to move onward, and to grow. When faced with a problem, do we ask, should I? Should I do something about it? Now, I don't have the resources. I don't have the people. It would interfere with a ministry we're already doing. Should I? Usually means I won't. Or when we're faced with problems, we can ask, how will I? How will I handle these problems? And from there, we look for the solutions. We look for what we can do to take care of the problem. The problem was the Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, invaded Judea and captured Jerusalem and destroyed it. He took the Jews to Babylon with him. And then about 70 years later, Cyrus, the king of Persia, and I was just reading about that this morning in Isaiah. Isaiah wrote about Cyrus before Cyrus was even born. But Cyrus, the king of Persia, wrote a declaration that the Jews could return to Jerusalem and that they should rebuild the temple. These are the Hebrew-speaking Jews. They went back to Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple, and they rebuilt their form of worship around the temple and the traditions that went with the temple. But they weren't the only Jews. Many of the Jews didn't return to Judea. They were scattered throughout the Greek and Roman empires. These are the Greek-speaking Jews. Their worship was based on the synagogue and the traditions that went with the synagogue. And when these two groups would get together next year in Jerusalem, they would come together for the feast of Passover and Pentecost. The two had conflicts. What is the right way to worship? What is the right way to do things? Now the church is formed, and many of the Greek-speaking Jews and the Hebrew-speaking Jews have come to see Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the one who has died for their sins, the one who has risen again to give them life. But there's still that conflict within the church. The widows, those without husbands, those without families, were destitute. They had no means of support. And now the Greek-speaking widows were being discriminated against in the support the church was giving. What's the solution? What is the solution? As a result of the problem, and the problem was discrimination, we see it today. The church organizes. Up to that point, the church had been just a body of people, 8,000-10,000 people that would meet in Solomon's colonnade to pray and to hear the apostles teach. And then in homes for fellowship and to share a meal. Now the church needs some organization. So the apostles called a meeting. What do we do when we have a problem? We call a meeting, don't we? And we talk about it. 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 The apostles called a meeting. That must have been a pretty big congregational meeting. And the apostles said, we need to be teaching the word of God, not conducting a food program. If it had ended there, there would have been a problem, because the problem wouldn't have been taken care of. And it probably would have wound up in a split in the church. But the apostles saw the opportunity. They said, select 7 men, and we'll appoint them to take care of the physical needs of the congregation. We'll call them deacons, and they'll care for the people physically as we care for them spiritually. This idea was approved by everybody, and 7 men were selected by the congregation. Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch. Spoiler, keep your ears open over the next few weeks, because you're going to hear about a couple of these guys. And they did more than just distribute food. These men were selected based on their qualifications. They were men from among you. They were converts. The church didn't go outside and bring in a specialist. They picked people that were right there in their midst. Christians, men who were serving in the church already, established. Today we say we pick elders and we pick deacons, not from people we hope will take the job, but from people who are already doing it. And we recognize them as already doing the job. They were men of good reputation. That word in Greek means witness. The witness about these men was good. What people were saying about them was that they were good men. Their lives, their walk, and their words were good. They cared about people, and they cared to reach out to people. I also like the idea of witness in that we see later on, they weren't just distributing food. They were also telling others about their relationship to the Savior, the Messiah. They were men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Our filling of our Holy Spirit shows up in all of our lives. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we first have to be emptied of self. We empty ourselves of self and God will fill us. And the Holy Spirit will bring the wisdom that He needs to bring into our lives so that we can serve Him. I used the example this morning. I can't fill a glass with orange juice if it's already half full of water. I have to dump out the water first. God can't fill us until we empty ourselves of self. These men, based upon the qualifications of being converts and established, being of good reputation and full of the Holy Spirit, were selected by the congregation. And then they were ordained or appointed by the apostles. They were given the responsibility. By laying on of hands, the responsibility was given to them to take care of the physical needs of the congregation. And what happened? What were the results? Needs were met, both spiritual needs and physical needs. Needs were met, like healing, food, clothing, or just a cup of water in Jesus' name. Meeting of the physical needs helped establish relationships. When you meet somebody's needs, you build a relationship with that person. And that relationship opens the door for your preaching or speaking the gospel into that person's life. As a result, many were saved. The church grew, and even many of the priests came to know Jesus as the Messiah, the one who had died for their sins. That's a great story. I really like it. Now I have to ask, what are we going to do about it? What is the application? What do we do with the problems we face? Because the same problems exist in the church today. There's persecution in many countries, especially restricted access countries. We see the church persecuted. Alliance missionaries and other missionaries use this opportunity to enter those countries in various different ways. It might be providing medical assistance. It might be teaching. It might be technology. It might be any number of different ways that allows them to come into the country and make relationships and speak the gospel. We see also there are individuals that try to use the church for their own gain. Whether it's greed or power, or position or money, an example are those that preach a prosperity gospel. That prosperity gospel makes them rich and gives them position. The church today needs to look at what's being taught. It needs to take the opportunity to denounce false teachers and false doctrine and bring their hearts of the people back to Jesus and Jesus only. And then there's discrimination, both ethnic and doctrinal, can be conquered when we truly realize that we are all one in Jesus Christ. Like the Anak and the Nor in the Gambela region of Ethiopia, the church there sees the opportunity to bring about reconciliation, to bring about oneness, to bring about Jesus Christ. Do we see problems around us today? Do we? Is COVID a problem? Or can we see it as an opportunity? Is social justice a problem? Or do we see it as an opportunity? How about the economy? Is it a problem? Or do we see an opportunity there? What about the base problems? Poverty, education, jobs. How can we meet needs? And by meeting needs, establish relationships. And through those relationships, communicate the gospel. We meet needs by distributing food. Bags of hope. Or through the food bank. We need to go out and get some food and bring it in, Gretchen. By doing clothing for those who don't have clothing. By helping those children to learn through mentoring programs. By cutting up a tree in our neighbor's yard. Taking it out for her, by walking around the neighborhood and picking up trash, in many other ways, Do we ask when we faced with a problem, should I do something about it? Or do we ask, how will I do something about it? Do we see the problems as opportunities? Opportunities to establish relationships, and through those relationships, speak the word of life. In your bulletins, the sermon notes, down at the bottom is a line. It says, what do you see as a problem? Sometime, take a minute and write down what you see as being one of the problems. And then what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? How can you reach people through establishing relationships and then speaking the gospel into their lives? Our Father, you speak much about justice and equality, but you sent your Son so that we might be reconciled to you. We pray that this morning we would see some of the problems around us and see the opportunities to reach out to others, establishing relationships, and then communicating the gospel with them. Father, help us to touch people's hearts. Use us to touch people. Use us in your service. Glorify yourself in your church. And we thank you. We thank you for this word this morning. Lay it on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.